everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love to connect with you. Unfortunately, due to the coronavirus outbreak, we aren't meeting in person right now, but there are still a lot of ways to connect with our community. On Sunday mornings, you can worship with us online through our YouTube channel at 10 a.m. or join us for a special family ministry live stream worship over on our Facebook page at 10:30. We are at Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Our pastors are here to support you and connect you with our community so that you will remember, even during this time of social distancing, that you are not alone. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
A reading from Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. But Moses says to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations.'"
They had been dreaming about a smooth ride that was ahead of them. They had been assured when they reached where they were going, the top of the mountain, that they would find a river that would take them to their destination. "Surely, if you climb up a mountain," they said, "that you would then be able to go down it just as easily." And so this expedition found their way to the top of the mountain. And when they found their way to the top of the mountain, what they discovered was that 300 years of experts that had been telling them they would find one thing were wrong, and they found something else. Instead of a river that they thought would take them from the top of the mountains to the Pacific Ocean, what Lewis and Clark and the Discovery Corps of Engineers found ahead of them was the Rocky Mountains, a vast and endless, seemingly wilderness full of rocky terrain and unexpected adventures. What they had been told was when they got to the top of the Rockies or the Divide or whatever it might have been, that there would be a river that would take them then down all the way to the Pacific Ocean. And so they prepared to be on a canoeing expedition, one hard paddle upstream to find their way, and then a smooth ride down the river to the Pacific Ocean. And they would be the ones who discovered the connection between both sides of the continent. And that's not what they found at all. They found a journey ahead of them that they weren't ready for. They found themselves trying to make it forward and they weren't prepared. And so in that moment, they had two options. They could have decided that they were going to give up, return, and regroup, and somebody else would be the one who become famous and we'd be talking about today. But instead, they decided to move forward. And so what they did was they took the canoes that they had brought with them, and they broke them down and they refashioned them into the equipment that they were going to need to make it going forward through a wilderness journey and a hike of epic proportions. They went from a journey where they thought they were going to be canoeing the rivers to one where you might say they were canoeing the mountains. Now, what Lewis and Clark had in their options at that point were they could give up and return, and they would have faded off into the oblivion of history, but instead they decided to press forward. They decided to move forward on the journey because that's what they wanted to do. Now, they had a lust for discovery and a sense of manifest destiny that might not have been the best thing, but indeed they pressed on. And what they also had for themselves was a key member of their expedition, a guide who would lead them. And of course, that was the now famous Sacagawea. Sacagawea was a native of that area who then joined their expedition and led them in a way that they needed to survive. And so it was the combination of their will to move forward and the fact that they had a guide with them that allowed them to make their move forward and allowed them to become the Lewis and Clark and the Discovery Corps of history that we know, as opposed to the one that would have been forgotten like many other explorers before them. Now, I want to say that this expedition is of great interest, I think, to us at this time, because in many ways, they find themselves in a situation that I think is very parallel to the one that we find ourselves in. They thought they were going to be on one type of a journey, and they found themselves on quite another kind. They thought that they were ready for the journey they were on, that they had the equipment and the tools that they needed to move forward. And it turned out that they needed different tools and different equipment. And so they had to reconfigure what they had because they knew what got them to that point wasn't going to carry them to where they needed to go. And so they had to get creative and renew their strategies and be more strategic and have a different sense of where they were going and how they were going to get there. And I think taking a look at their story is instructive for us. In fact, actually, there's an entire book called Canoeing the Mountains written by Todd Bolsinger for church leaders and Christian leaders who find themselves in a moment of complexity and uncertainty. And Todd Bolsinger draws the connection between Lewis and Clark and the moments that we are kind of in at a prior time, but yet also what he speaks to there is still true today, is that we find ourselves in a moment and in our journey where we weren't expecting to be, and we need to press on, and we need to remember that like Lewis and Clark had a guide to lead them in Sacagawea, we too have a guide to help us in this journey as well. But beyond that, there's lessons that we can look to for our ancestors, from our ancestors, of what they saw and who they saw as their guide that can help us in this moment as well. Now, as interesting as I might think Lewis and Clark and Sacagawea might be, and they are worth their own exploration, I think as followers of Jesus and as people of the church, I think that we are better off even yet looking at our ancestors in the faith to get a better sense of what God has done to help people when they find themselves in unexpected moments in the journey, perhaps even to say that when they've been in the wilderness. And the ancestors that I'm referring to are, of course, the ancient Israelites. Now, they are famous for being on a journey in the wilderness, one full of unexpected twists and turns. And it was in the midst of all of that that I think if we can look at their story and we can look at their journey, we can glean things of helpfulness and information and inspiration that can help us in our moment right now as well. Because if we look to their journey, we can see how God was at work with them, and it can help us to be reminded that God is still at work with us today. Now, much of all that journey that they went on was rooted and found in a man named Moses. Now, Moses is, of course, one of the most famous, if not the most famous, of the Israelites in all of history. And it all began on a journey in some way or another with Moses when he was out in the fields with his sheep. Now, Moses was out watching his father-in-law's flocks. He had married into a family business, as it were, having been kicked out of another one. And it says in the text that he was leading the flock out beyond the wilderness, which is an interesting sort of concept, and into the mountains. And there's one fateful moment, of course, Moses found himself confronted with an extraordinary experience. Moses seemingly happened upon an interesting thing where there was this bush that was burning and it was not being consumed. And from the bush heard a voice. And at first it was a voice of an angel calling Moses forward. And then when Moses figured out that something divine was happening, he turned aside. And in that moment, God saw that Moses was being reverent. And then Moses started to hear God speak to him once again. And it was in that moment where Moses was called by God to be the one who would free Israel from slavery in Egypt, the one that would lead them out of bondage and through the journey that they would need to go on through the wilderness so they could find their way to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And when Moses heard this, the first thing he tried to do was tell God that he wasn't the one that should be going on this journey. And that God assured him that God would be with Moses the entire way. And once Moses heard that God was going to be with him on that journey, he leaned in a little more, and God spoke to him further. Moses had another question then for him at that moment, and he said, well, if I go and do this, who am I going to tell the Israelites? Who am I going to tell the Egyptians, for that matter, has sent me to do this? And God spoke to Moses and said, you are going to tell him, you are going to tell them that I am has sent you. You're going to tell them, I am has sent you, that I am is the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the one who has been with his people for all times. And you're going to tell him, you're going to tell them rather that who has, that is the one who has sent you. And then Moses said, who am I going to tell has sent me? And he said to them, you are going to tell them, I am has sent you. Now, embedded in that would have been something totally inspiring to Moses, because perhaps, and we know from what it says in the text there, that when Moses would have heard God speaking to him to say, I am has sent you, Moses would have heard so much more. He would have heard God speaking to him and said, it is not just I am who has going to send you, but it is I who has been, I who am, I who will be, I am has sent you. And what Moses would have heard, and what the people would have heard, and what of all the people at that time would have heard, is it wasn't just a God of that moment who was going to send them, him, Moses, to free them. Rather, it was a God of all time. It was a God of eternity, a God of ever-presence that was sending Moses to do God's work. And that was the God who was going to guide them in the journey that they were on. And it was in that moment when Moses heard that, and I imagine that in those times to follow, and other people heard that as well, that they gathered great confidence that the God who was going to guide them was a God who could see the path that they were going to be on. That they were going to be led by a God who wasn't going to get swept up by the moment, rather they were going to be led by a God who was eternal and could see the beginning, the middle, and the end of the journey. And that gave them great confidence that they could go forward on the journey that they weren't expecting to be on. That they had a guide who was with them and a guide who was going to take care of them. And that's one of the things that they had with them. And it's one of the things that we have with us today. That we have that same God who was with Moses and the people in Israel when they went through their journey in the wilderness is the same God who is with us as we make our journey through this time and this day with great uncertainty. Now, one of the things that we need to be mindful of in this is there's this interesting connection between being led and loved by a God who can see the path that we can't see we're on, and yet also a mixture of divine freedom and human freedom. And what goes on in all of this seems to be multiple things that seem to be true at once, but there's a mystery in how all this works together. But what we can see is that it works. And what we can see is that when we understand that God is with us, we have one of the most important things, if not the most important thing to go on this journey, is confidence that we are being led and loved by a God who is not going to get swept up in the moment, but rather one who is going to carry us through to the end. And I think that if we can look to this lesson from the Israelites and their journey and bring it into ours, we can see just how much we have already with us and going for us as we make forward in this time. We can understand that God has carried us to this point, and we can understand that God will be with us as we go forward into this uncertain time as well. And as we seek to make our time, make the most of it, as we seek to survive this season so we can thrive in the next, I think we can hold on to great hope with great confidence that the God who was guiding Israel back in that day is the same God who is guiding us in our day. And that gives me hope. And I hope that gives you hope, too, that we will indeed survive this season so we can thrive in the next. Lewis and Clark found themselves in an uncertain moment. The Israelites found themselves in uncertain moments. Lewis and Clark had a guide in Sacagawea that allowed them to survive and thrive in that season. Israel had the God who is I am. Israel has had the God who was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with them as well, guiding them and protecting them. And that God is our God as well, who is our God and our guide on this journey. We may not be able to see the path that we're on. We may not be able to see the way forward in the moment that we find ourselves in. But we are being led and we are being guided by a God who can see the path for us. We are being led by a God who can see the beginning, the middle, and the end. And that gives me great confidence, not only that God is with us, but that God wants us to survive in this season so we can thrive in the one to come. So as we make our way forward, let us remember that God is with us and God is guiding us. Just like God has been with and God has guided God's people throughout all the ages. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.